Welcome to The Lonely Marketer, sponsored by Pager. My name is Glenn Southam, and this is your show for all things recruitment marketing. We share the challenges, the successes, advice, and the screw-ups from the leading marketing talent working in recruitment. And most importantly, find out what their favourite swear word is. We speak to the companies working to make marketing recruitment more effective and efficient, and to those people who have opinions that will make you think about things that little bit differently. You can find me on LinkedIn, and if you want to follow the bear, then head over to thelonelymarketers.com for links to all of our social channels and to sign up for our newsletter. But now, it's time for the show. Let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 70. Yes, number 70. I can't quite believe we're at that round number now, but we're well on our way to 100, which we should hit hopefully in 2021. And for episode number 70, I'm delighted to welcome to the show Mary Palmer from HRC, who heads up their marketing. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be, especially number 70. That's like a special number. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, number 70 and number 3 in terms of being a Scot, I think.
Third time lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Or hopefully, you know, if Adam and Susie, if you're listening, you know, your episodes were good as well. But hopefully, you know, what they would have done is they would have warmed up the listeners' ears to the Scottish accent. So for this episode, everyone's going to understand it completely. Yeah.
They won't need subtitles. Yeah.
Exactly. So just to kick off very quickly, background, you, your career, your, you know, HRC, where you're working now, whatever you want to cover.
So I have a master's degree in film journalism and left uni and quickly sort of realised that, you know, film journalism jobs pay like a fiver. You know, and I wasn't going to be able to survive in London on that. So ended up working at jewellers, doing their social media for a while, increasing their sales, increasing their followers. And from there, joined the Daily Record, which is the Scottish equivalent of the Daily Mirror, for those who are not familiar, as part of their graduate scheme. Worked in their marketing team, but freelanced in editorial before moving over to editorial full time, which was the most interesting, intense and crazy experience of my life. And then left there because I saw a job advert that said, do you like to tell stories? And anyone that knows me knows that I won't say five words when 50 will do. And joined HRC Recruitment, and that will be 4 years next month I have been with the company.
I'll tell you what, that's quite a refreshing intro to recruitment marketing, that it's a story that said, do you tell stories, rather than what people might expect or what we often see when it comes to marketing jobs in recruitment. So that's quite nice, and it probably gets you off to a decent kind of start into your career as a recruitment marketer.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it really, really stood out. And it was a time where, you know, journalism was getting a bit scary and uncertain in terms of redundancies, and I thought, I need to, you know, find something I can sort of maneuver myself into. And I thought, just because the way the job advert was structured and it was all about, you know, this is going to be really focused on content and storytelling, I was like, well, I kind of do that for a living anyway, like, you know, I'll bluff my way into recruitment as well, just thinking I could totally pick it up in, you know, one day sort of thing. But it was definitely, it was a good move to make at the time.
You don't need to bluff your way into recruitment. Anyone can get a job, job in recruitment, you know.
I want to say that, you know, just in case my colleagues are listening.
They all know it's true deep down. So you were saying you've been there 3 years now, is it?
Yeah, so it'll be 4 years at the end of January. I had my interviews just before Christmas, didn't hear anything, thought, oh, well, okay. And then literally at the start of January, it was like, yeah, can you start in a few weeks' time? And I've been there for 4 years. So it's certainly been interesting. It was definitely a baptism of fire into how the sort of professional world works, as it were, because I'd been in newspapers.
Just so you're aware, people who are listening and not on a video, when Mary said professional there, she did the kind of the fingers with inverted inverted commas. So you know, take that as you will, but carry on, Mary.
Sure. I guess it was interesting for me because, as I say, I had been in, you know, everyone was in jeans and t-shirts, and there was like, it was very, very casual, super relaxed in the newspaper world. I say super relaxed, nobody was ever truly relaxed because you had targets and stuff to hit as much as you do in recruitment. But I think it was, you know, people were talking about, you know, KPIs and client tender projects and PSLs and RFPs, and I was kind of like, what is all of this? And so I really had to sort of get my study brain on and really brush up so that when I was talking to the consultants, they they wouldn't guess that I was an amateur at this. Like, I wanted to sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, and like we mentioned just before I hit record, HRC are a kind of a generalist recruiter as well. So there was a lot for you to learn in terms of the different audiences and everything to tell these stories.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, somebody who maybe is a customer service advisor in call and contact centre has different priorities to somebody who works in heavy engineering or somebody who is a Java developer. And so to try and learn all the different languages, as it were, and to actually create that tone of voice, not just for the individual consultants in their markets, but actually to find a brand voice for HRC, because nobody had been doing marketing there before. There was no marketing team, there was nothing. And so I think when I joined the company, I was met with a bit of suspicion, because it was like, well, we've never done this before and we don't need to do it. So, you know, like you can just make stuff up sort of thing, as opposed to actually embracing marketing. And it's been a wee bit of an uphill struggle. But now that we've got there and there's people in the business that are so enthusiastic, they see the value of it. And, you know, they're coming to me with ideas, which is the best position to be in. But yeah, definitely at the start, it was like, I've never done this before. Like, why are you here? Why do you want to write about, you know, call and contact centre? Or why do you want to write about what they're doing in HR? Like, why are we doing this? And they just couldn't join the dots between what they were doing and what I wanted to do.
So what do you know what the catalyst was? Because obviously you didn't just turn up, walk through the door and say, oh, I'm here to do marketing. Someone in the business obviously understood that there was a need for some reason to start doing marketing. Do you know what that catalyst was to bring in your, you know, yourself?
So I think my boss at the time, Billy McDermott, who is now a Canada ID.
Yes, I know Billy.
Yeah, so he brought me into HRC, I think, because he was kind of, his job was, I'm pretty sure it was marketing director at the time, but he wasn't really, he was kind of dabbling in content occasionally, and he would put posts out, you know, for Christmas and all that sort of thing in social media, but there was no sort of dedicated resource to do that. And I think because he wanted to do other things in terms of like reporting and the CRM system and stuff like that, it was like, well, okay, we need someone to cover this side of things, and we need someone who's actually confident at writing. And I guess at the time, I didn't consider myself a marketer, but I definitely considered myself a strong writer. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, yeah, I'll pick the rest of it up on the way.
and how has that journey been, you know, coming up to 4 years now? Do you consider yourself a marketer over a writer now?
I've still got a little bit of imposter syndrome, I'm not going to lie, because sometimes when you look at some of the stuff that, you know, like marketing agencies are doing, or even within our own sort of marketers group chat, I'm like, God, it's like they're speaking a different language, and maybe I don't know what that is. But it's just what's been most enjoyable actually has been getting to grips with it, and, you know, YouTube tutorials or looking things up and going, oh, I think we can implement this, and that would change the way, you know, we do whatever reporting or surveys or whatever. And that's been part of the fun, has actually been the learning process. I mean, I'll always consider myself a writer, it's what I love to do, but yeah, I think this year in particular I feel like, yeah, I've been doing some marketing.
Yeah. So in terms of kind of those lessons over the past 4 years or so, what would be the big lessons that you've learned, you know, yourself professionally, about recruitment, whatever?
Yeah. I think the biggest lesson for me is, you know, get the consultants on side. Mm. Like, you're going to be fighting a losing battle if nobody's invested in the marketing. So the big thing for me was actually to book in time, get face to face, actually talk to them. You know, what are your pain points? What are your problems? What are your clients telling you? What are your candidates telling you? And how can I either help fix this or at least get some content out there that establishes you as the go-to person? So absolutely get the consultants on side. And the thing is, we've had so much fun. Like, you know, we've recreated the Queen album covers and stuff like mm-hmm. that. You know, we've shot video and we've just done some really fun stuff that's been really different. And what's been interesting is once one team does it or one person does it, the other teams are like, well, I want that for my desk. And all of a sudden you've got this kind of ripple effect where people actually want to work with you.
It's so competitive nature, isn't it? Within sales floors. And if some, it's that, you know, it's like my kids, if one person's got one toy, the other one wants it straight away, even if they haven't played with it for 6 months. It's always the way, isn't it? Is there anything, like, if you could kind of go back to, or what was it? January 2017 it will be, and throughout that period of time, and and would have done some stuff differently and anything like that. Would there be anything you'd do differently?
I think I wouldn't be so timid going into it. I think at first I was just like, because, as I say, it was a brand new role, brand new, you know, kind of service or whatever. I think I was like, oh, well, the consultants must know best. I'll just not do that then. But I think if I just sort of trusted myself, and because the thing is, we have created something that I think is really authentic and really natural, and there's so much bullshit on LinkedIn and there's, you know, so much stuff people are clearly, you know, trying too hard or whatever, and I think we've actually created something that's, it's quite fun, but it's professional. And I think if I'd just leant into it a bit more, because I think when I was there for the first maybe 3 to 6 months, I was like, oh, this is a disaster and I'm not good at this. But, you know, nobody buys from a timid salesperson, and I wish I'd had more confidence going into it. Yeah,
I think that's quite a common trait within marketers. It comes up quite a lot. You know, it's come up quite a lot over this show and in the conversations I have privately, is like, well, we're very good as marketers as promoting other people, our businesses, and everything like that. But when it comes to promoting ourselves, our skills, and our experience, we do struggle. And I don't know why. It's a weird little paradox between the profession and the personality, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, I still do it, and I think it is a confidence thing. Is like, you know, you're brought into the business. No, there's nobody in the business that knows marketing better than you, and it is just a case of putting yourself out there a little bit. I think the challenge with us in the creative world, in the marketing world, is that more often than not, everything's quite subjective, especially on the creative side of things. People either like it or they don't, which I suppose that's where, as an industry, and I think it's happened this year, we need to make that shift to be able to show that what we're doing is actually results based with data, which we can do now, can't we?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's been one of the bigger changes of this year in general, is actually a lot of marketers you have seen have kind of blossomed and come into their own, largely because they've had to, and it almost feels like you're sort of fighting for survival, as it were. But I think a lot of marketers have gained confidence this year just because they've actually been able to join those dots and make that connection between what they're doing and the bottom line, basically.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely key. But, you know, a chance to get those processes in place. There's been plenty of recruitment leaders and consultants who have suddenly gone, you know, oh, shit. You know, we haven't got CVs to send out. We haven't got jobs to promote. What else can we do? And, you know, some consultants have been brilliant, like taking that on themselves and building personal brands and being really creative themselves. But there's been, you know, so many, you know, despite all of the negative stories and stuff that you might see on LinkedIn, there's been so many great examples of marketing stepping up and getting involved in campaigns and bits and pieces this year. What's it like for... You know, I don't like talking about you know, the corona and the pandemic, but I think it is important, because it has been, I think, like a seminal moment for recruitment marketing this year in terms of accelerating our importance. What's it been like personally for you from a marketing point of view, you know, over the past 9 months or so?
I'm not at the start, so say like March, April, I'm not going to lie, I felt a little bit scared and a little bit vulnerable, but not least because, you know, you were going on LinkedIn and you were seeing like, you know, so-and-so's been made redundant or that entire team's been wiped out, and you're kind of going, shit, am I going to be next in all of this? But actually, you know, we've implemented, you know, video tech, webinars, you know, we've set up a brand new Instagram account designed to attract, you know, graduates and apprentices, and we've done so much stuff that has been incredible. I mean, in a way, the pandemic has been the boot up the ass that we have needed for a long time to do, you know, so much of this, and you know, different styles of reporting, and actually, you know, why are we focusing on these numbers when we should be looking at this? And we've actually been doing recruitment marketing on behalf of some of our clients, which we've never had the chance to do before, and it's actually been amazing in a way. When I look, I kind of, when you're in the mire, as it were, you're going, oh, I'm not doing anything, I'm just doing social posts all the time. But actually, now that I kind of look back on 2020, I'm like, this has probably been the best year I could have asked for in terms of, you know, doing things differently, actually, you know, pushing myself and pushing my colleagues as well, and feeling like my voice has definitely been heard, and we're trying new things. As I say, that doesn't make it any less scary, but at the same time, I have really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not enjoying, like, you can see I'm in my attic. I haven't left here since March. It's getting a bit tedious now, but I would really like to go back to the office and see my colleagues. But apart from that, there's been some really fun and exciting stuff that I'm actually really proud of.
And I suppose, look, let's look forward with, you know, with hope and some positivity. This isn't going to end on December 31st, and when we come back in 2021, it's all going to go back to normal. But I think there is some, you know, some cause for optimism. I think one important thing for us as marketers, and that is everything you were saying there, the positive stuff, that stays that way throughout 2021. When the market picks up, we don't revert to type, if you like, in terms of you know, the social media posts, the bits and pieces like that. But what do you see that's kind of important, you know, going forward in the next 12 months?
So it's interesting. I totally agree with what you said. Like, I want to keep that positivity up, and I don't want to just revert back to, you know, the way we always did it, because that phrase in itself should just, it's awful. Yeah. So I think that for me, personally speaking, I want to look to kind of smarter tech that's going to, you know, make that reporting easier, make, you know, joining those dots easier. And, you know, how do we get our content out that's different? Because this year, I do feel like a lot of people are at saturation point with, you know, being online, even, and just seeing all that content all the time. So it's going to be even harder to stand out for all the right reasons. Part of me is kind of intrigued, though, because if it does go back to normal, and with the air bunnies again, I actually can kind of see a lot of people switching off and moving offline, because we've spent so much time on our laptops, whatever, this year. So part of me is thinking, how do we reach those audiences that have kind of been switched off or turned off by all of this?
So, well, we go back to physical mail shots through the post and things like that, eh?
Yeah, and drops and all that sort of thing. I'm like, what do we do to reach that audience who may actually have just decided that enough's enough? But I think that definitely for me, it's a year to really look at, you know, what tech are we, how can we work smarter, and what tech are we using to get those processes up and running, and just maintaining that positivity. You know, we've kind of, not to sound cheesy, but I feel like as a business, we've kind of rallied together, and we've all sort of helped each other out and banded together and been each other's supporters. And I want that to continue, because that's the way a business should operate. There shouldn't be this divide between sales and marketing. It should be we're all working together for the same things.
And that's it. Well, it's understanding what those things are is important as well.
The Lonely Marketer is sponsored by our friends at Pager. Marketers use Pager to get 90% of those pesky consultants to share relevant content to their target audiences. Combine this with automated and fully branded job adverts, Pager drives traffic directly back to your website, which is then 60% more likely to convert. Not bad, eh? Head over to pager.co, that's P-A-I-G-E-R.co, to find out more. Let's get back to the show.
You were mentioning kind of the tech there, and you said you brought on some tech this year and looking next year. Is there anything specific there? What did you bring on this year, for example?
So the biggest difference that we've made, because I think like a lot of agencies maybe get caught out a little bit as to how good we thought our tech was and the reality of that. So this year we decided to bring in Hinterview.
Yep.
Which has been just amazing. Like, people are super enthusiastic about it. We're already seeing results, you know, clients really getting on board, getting involved, candidates loving the process as well. And, you know, we've really been helped in that process by our account manager, Harriet, who has just, she's brought the enthusiasm out in all of us again, because again, it was like, oh, it's new tech and it's scary and we're all learning remotely as opposed to being together in the boardroom or whatever in the office. And I think that just seeing the difference in people and seeing their confidence, like how quickly people have adapted to actually, you know, people who I would have thought would never have recorded themselves on video and put it out there on LinkedIn that are doing it, and they've created a sort of mini personal brand around themselves. I'm just like, wow, this is awesome.
That's what I was going to say. Like, often when we talk about video tech, and Nelly, the head of marketing from Hinterview, was on the last show, episode 69. I've had Susie on from Odro as well. And sometimes when you think about the video tech or the way it's kind of pushed, and you see it's so focused on like the interviewing side of things, but it does have a direct impact on our marketing efforts, or it should do, isn't it? Marketing should be involved in like the adoption of that tech and using it. I often say
grab all the bloopers off of it, even just for some easy posts and stuff at that time. So have you found yourself quite involved in kind of the onboarding and the ongoing use of like interviewing?
Yeah, well? I have been joining the guys for their weekly sessions when they've been checking in with Harriet, and we've been setting up competitions, and we do actually have a blooper reel that's in the process of getting made for people, and it has been hysterical. Yeah, it has to say it's been hysterical. But again, you know, funnily enough, a while ago I ran some personal brand training internally, and people were like, I can't do video, I hate the sound of my own voice, or, you know, I just don't feel it. And then all of a sudden they have this tech in front of them and they want to use it and they want to be part of it, and because they're salespeople, they're competitive, so it's, well, my video got so many thousand views and so many likes, and all of a sudden you've got this kind of mini competition going on. And it's, I sound like a proud mum, I realise that, but it's been amazing to watch actually people kind of really blossom with their own sort of personal brands as well. Yeah.
Your little consultant children all growing up.
Yeah.
and you were mentioning like looking at tech for next year. Would that be marketing specific stuff, like what you were saying, because where you feel there might be a little bit of content fatigue, is it looking at tech that's going to more tailor content to get it in front of people at the right time and stuff?
Yeah, I definitely feel, I mean, we've sort of, and I do use the word dabbled on purpose, we've dabbled with HubSpot this year. And I think that it's given me a taste of something where I'm like, okay, if we could get all of our platforms talking to each other, and that includes our website, which is in need of a refresh as well, you know, we could do something really special.
You'll have
here
all the website providers who listen to you now.
I know, I've just realised that, yeah.
Yeah, well done.
open to demos. I think that if we could have all our systems talking to each other, and, you know, we could have some really cool MI, and we could, you know, hairline triggers for like surveys, or, you know, chatbots, or just taking it up to that next level. Like we kind of felt like we were punching above our weight this year with some of the tech that we had used, and even just using, like, you know, Crowdcast for webinars and stuff that we'd never done before. But actually once we get used to it, it's like, oh no, we're good at this, we actually enjoy it, you know, we're getting the benefits out of it, so why not just take it up a notch and see what else we can do, because it's only going to benefit the business, you know.
Yeah, cool. You mentioned it a bit previously, you know, that March, April time when everyone was, there was some horror stories. It might have been before you joined kind of the WhatsApp group as well. There was some horrible stories going on in there and things like that. I know you feel quite strongly about kind of marketing being cut and everything during that time. Why do you feel quite strongly about that? You know, I think I know we're going to be on the same page here, but just what's the thinking behind that?
Do you know, there's part of it stems from this misconception that anyone can do marketing or anyone can do social media. You know, I've heard of lots of, you know, my friends or whatever who are at a company, and it's like, oh, well, we'll give the social media to a young person because they'll know what they're doing. And it's like, no,
they're really good content on Instagram.
They're on Instagram loads of times, or they use Snapchat or whatever, and it's like, that doesn't actually constitute a marketing strategy, it doesn't constitute a content strategy, or, you know, any of those things. And I think that because marketing often gets lumped in with support, I think a lot of support teams get cut at the start of the year, and it was just like, well, we can do without marketing. You can't. Whether there's a pandemic on or not, you need a public voice, you need a brand, you need someone to head that up, you need someone to strategize, you need someone to inform your, you need someone to empower your salespeople, not inform your salespeople, you need someone to empower your salespeople to get out there and use the platforms correctly as well. And I just think it's been such a massive mistake. And when you look at some of the business accounts where, you know, nobody's posted in 9 months or whatever, like, look at the accounts where somebody's posted this morning or yesterday or whatever, these people are out in front because they've given their customers or clients or whatever a constant reminder of who they are, the value they can add, and you know, how they can help out or whatever. And I just think it's been a really big mistake, and it's something that is in the same way that I felt sad about all the redundancies going on in journalism at the time, because it was really good people, talented people that were losing their jobs. I'm kind of on my soapbox about this now as well, because it's just a mistake, it really is.
Yeah, and I think we have that risk of, like you say, losing very talented people from the industry, the kind of the recruitment businesses, if you like, then potentially get tainted kind of, and, you know, and tarred and everything with the same brush, and that's not fair. You know, like HRC, who you're working for, and there's plenty other examples of businesses who do embrace marketing. They do value it. They do see them as, you know, sales enablement, revenue generators rather than support. And that's my big concern, is that we do lose very talented individuals from the marketing. So, you know, if there is anyone listening out there who, you know, might have that uncertainty and that anxiety, because it's certainly still around in so many places, is that, you know, either hang in there, or, you know, do look at other recruitment businesses as well, because we don't want to lose people from kind of the recruitment marketing space at all.
No, definitely not. And I think the thing is, because we've seen a lot of successes this year, you know, I'm hoping that going forward, that means that marketing is a team that I can now build, because, you know, we've actually not proven our worth or whatever, but it's definitely been a year where we've sort of kind of risen to the challenge. It didn't feel like it at the time, but I think we definitely have.
I think grabbing that kind of opportunity where so many people have, so many marketers and marketing departments have taken kind of center stage, or they've kind of come in from the sidelines, and now it's the chance to take center stage is so important now. And I think it's a little bit of a case of, you know, strike whilst the iron's hot, in that sense. If it is, you know, if you're a solo marketer in a recruitment business, I don't know why I didn't use lonely marketer there. couldn't get a plug on
my branding opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. on the show that's actually named that. But I think, you know, ask those questions. You've been able to prove results. It allows you to say, look, if we can get in another 40 hours a week, imagine what we can do based on what we've already done in a downturn. So it's a really good chance for, you know, for marketers to step up, to build their own personal careers from a selfish point of view. I think that's fine. And, you know, grab that opportunity whilst you can, for sure. Cool. You're getting a bonus fifth question, which I'll do you know what, I'll kick off with it actually for the five questions.
Excited.
Because, you know, you've got a little side gig of running is it a movie kind of review site and everything?
We do movie reviews, and we're actually recording our podcast. Not that we've been to the cinema obviously all year either, but we do review some podcasts on the side.
Okay, so favorite film of all time?
Oh, easy. Alfred Hitchcock's Shadow of a Doubt.
Okay, why?
First of all, I'm a big Hitchcock fan, but it's Joseph Cotten's performance. There's a slight break of the fourth wall in the film, and to this day it gives me chills watching it. I love it.
Some people probably wouldn't have even heard of that film. I think most people would have heard of Alfred Hitchcock, but what about any kind of like modern day type films that have caught your eye?
So I mean, this year obviously has been slightly slim pickings, but I mean, Parasite was out in the UK in February, and that's just a phenomenal bit of
and that one best film at the Oscars, didn't it? It did,
and there's also, I mean, you've got big sort of sweeping epics like 1917 that came out at the start of the year. But this year I think it's been a good year for sort of indie films to blossom. I usually go to Fright Fest and stuff like that, and I've seen a couple of crackers there as well online, and I think it's been fun to see, maybe actually step away from the likes of, you know, your Mission Impossibles and your Marvels and all that, and actually watch some indie film for a wee change. It's been good.
I think like pulling it back to marketing, which probably should, it's been a big change, hasn't it, for film producers and everything like that, to shift how they promote their films. I remember who was it, I think it was last week, Warner Brothers have kind of made the decision to put their films straight onto kind of streaming and kind of cut out the cinema and stuff like that, haven't they? So they've really had to shift how they market their products as well this year.
Oh, definitely. You know, there was such a build-up over Tenet getting released at the cinema, and then Disney sort of decided to, I think they were kind of the catalyst for it by releasing Mulan on Disney Plus, and I see Warner Brothers have followed suit this week. It's definitely going to be interesting times. I love watching film producers and marketing teams there as well. I'm obviously kind of fascinated by that, but I definitely think that it's going to be interesting in 2021 to see how that all pans out as well.
Yeah, there seems to be quite a blurred, not to do your podcast in this podcast as well, there seems to be quite a blurred line now between kind of like films in terms of feature length films and and kind of series now. I'm a big fan. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I'm kind of watching like The Mandalorian and stuff like
amazing.
That. It's amazing, and I kind of watched the director's stuff, and they've been using like six directors for different episodes. But it's such a blurred line now between, you know, do people really want to watch those 2 hour films, or you know, are people trying to cram in a 10 episode thing that could be on Netflix or a Disney Plus into a 2 hour film? What do people prefer? But I suppose it's different. People prefer different things, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a good binge watch where you literally don't leave the couch for like 12 hours and Netflix asks you, are you still there? Are you still alive? Yeah, but at the same time, I do miss the sort of the kind of thrill going to the cinema and the feel of being in the seats.
It's the experience, isn't it?
If you
think about pure marketing, you know, what we talk about in our day job when it comes to recruitment marketing, everything we do, we should be considering how is this going to make somebody feel at their point. So it is important. Cool. That's film chat out the way. let's go to the standard five questions that I end the show on. Your favorite brand?
You know what, I was thinking about this. I really like what Channel 4 are doing just now. So I kind of like, they ran a campaign where it was like all the complaints that they'd had over the year, and they got some like actors and presenters to voice them and to, you know, put them into part of an advert campaign. And they were kind of like, yep, and we're proud of all these complaints. And I kind of like that, two fingers up, like, yeah, this is what we're doing, and we're not sorry for it, and we're cool and we're quirky. And yeah, I really like that, just kind of like kind of ambitious, sort of ballsy kind of attitude.
But it's principled as well, isn't it? It's like they've got their principles or their standards, and they're not going to let any comments or anything sway it. Favorite sound?
I mean, the refined answer would be like, you know, turning a page on a new book or something, but honestly, it's a packet of crisps open. I am a crisp fiend. And I really, it's nothing brings me joy quite like cracking open a packet of crisps or popping a tube of Pringles.
Okay, favorite flavors?
I like nippy crisps, so anything that's like salt and vinegar or pickled onion, anything quite nippy that's going to make your cheeks stick in, that's what I like.
love that. A bit of tech that you couldn't live without?
Netflix, obviously. Really? I watch loads of movies, loads of series, and I'm a bit of a true crime buff, so I quite like all their sort of weird and wonderful true crime exposés. And obviously Tiger King was how we all kicked off lockdown together, so yeah, definitely couldn't live without that.
Do you know what? We talk about algorithms ourselves quite a lot in recruitment marketing, mainly on LinkedIn and stuff. I really struggle with like Netflix algorithm. I feel like I'm missing out on loads of stuff, and I don't know how to get other stuff. I feel like I need to do my research. I probably need to look at, you know, some of the stuff that you do. I feel like I really need to do my research, because I feel like I might be missing out on some hidden gems somewhere.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely they serve you up stuff sometimes and you're like, I would never watch that, and 2 hours later you're like inside the screen going, this is the best thing I've ever watched.
And obviously journalism, your first love, recruitment marketing, your true love, obviously. If you could do any other job though, what would it be?
Do you know, I'm torn. Either I would be a Foley artist, because I quite like the idea of just like flapping sheets and making noise for a living, or like a forensic psychologist, because I do watch all my true crime. I'm kind of intrigued by, you know, getting inside the mind of a murderer. I'd probably crap myself and not be very good at it, but I'm kind of intrigued by it.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of bonus questions here. Favorite serial killer?
Ed Kemper, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I never heard of him.
He's the co-ed killer. He was like over 6 foot tall and basically had loads of mummy issues went on a killing spree in the 60s and 70s, but was like super erudite, recorded audiobooks for the elderly while he was in prison. Very well spoken, very charming. I'm intrigued by it all.
They usually are fascinating, aren't they? My wife's exactly the same. And I always have high hopes for the favourite swear word, but even more so when I have a Scottish guest. Favourite swear word?
do you know, it's got to be something, it's got to be fuck, right? Because yeah. It's so versatile, because, you know, someone could give you good news and you're like, oh, fuck, that's amazing. Yeah. Or you get an email through and you know you're going to be working 9 o'clock at night and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. So, and there's so much different, like, you can use it in so many different ways, and you can have, like, you know, fuck tard or fuck bollocks, and it just, it all kind of rolls into, I mean, I used it like punctuation, so I love it.
Excellent, cool, and that's it. That's episode 70. Done and dusted. It's really, really fun episode. It's great to get your insight. And I think there's plenty of pointers that people pick out that they'll relate to, and if they can't relate to them, they'll probably take them into 2021. Oh, that's the hope. Also, thanks for joining me, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been so much fun.
And this is probably going to be the last episode of 2020, unless I can dig out some time to give you a bonus roundup episode, which will probably just be me babbling on for 15 minutes. So if that comes out, it comes out. If it doesn't, I'll speak to you all in 2021. And thank you very much for listening this year.